The following recording took place at a Catholic conference in South Jersey in the early 1990s. It was a question and answer session that featured Father Paul Kramer and Father Nicholas Gruner. A question came from the audience as to whether a Catholic may attend the chapels of the priests of the Society of St. Pius X, and Father Kramer gave a detailed answer. Father Kramer's comments will be followed by the 1995 statement of Vatican Cardinal Stickler, who admitted that the Tridentine Mass has never been forbidden. And we will close with Father Paul Kramer at a year 2000 Catholic Family News Conference, where he explains that the Tridentine Mass could not be forbidden, even if Pope St. Pius V had never written Quo Primum.
The question concerns the legality of the Tridentine Mass as that is offered in the chapels of the Society of St. Pius X. Is it licit or is it not licit to attend the Masses celebrated by the priests of that fraternity? The question was once put to Cardinal Oddi, and he simply quoted the law and said that, quoted the law, which is that if a Catholic priest is licit to attend the Mass, a Catholic rite celebrated by a Catholic priest. And there has been a great deal of confusion injected by certain bishops, certain sectors of the clergy, and even from the Vatican. The claim has been made that you can't attend the Mass of the Society of St. Pius X because they are said to be in schism. Well, I would like to ask these people, how would they define schism? I've discussed this with canon lawyers. We have discussed what is schism. Because as soon as Pope John Paul II came out with the document, the Motu Proprio Ecclesia Dei, when he referred to Archbishop Lefebvre's ordaining bishops, as he referred to it as this schismatic act, he made a reference to the faithful should not take part in the schism, whatever schism he's talking about. First of all, whoever wrote that document for the Pope was clever enough to be subtle and general in his language, nothing very specific, nothing precise. When he refers to the schism, what is he talking about? When the Pope says this schismatic act, well, who does that encompass? What is the schismatic act? According to canon law, if a bishop performs an unauthorized consecration of another bishop, that is an act of disobedience, which is penalized by the penalty of excommunication. Now, it has never been the teaching of the Church that this act of disobedience is in itself, in and of itself, an act of schism. In the 1917 Code of Canon Law, if a bishop, without the authorization of the Pope, should ordain another bishop. He incurred automatically the penalty of suspension ad divinis. He was not even excommunicated, but only suspended. This was previous to the 1983 Code of Canon Law. This previously was the penalty. You were not excommunicated, you were only suspended, if you, as a bishop, without the authorization of the Pope, presumed to ordain another bishop. This is already proof that the Church, traditionally, has not regarded the unauthorized ordination of a bishop to be an act of schism that separates one from the body of the Church. When you hear it said, well, Archbishop Lefebvre ordained bishops against the command of the Pope, therefore he falls into schism. Now, this is an error. This is a lie that the Public Affairs Office of the Church wants you to believe. The Vatican public relations people and the public affairs people in the Vatican, they want you to believe that this is an act of schism and therefore they're out of the Church. Is it founded in canon law? Is it founded in Catholic theology? No. The Church has never taught that. This is just something that they are speaking out and publishing, and it's for mass consumption. It is for the purpose of deceiving you, the Catholic faithful, into thinking that they have fallen into schism. And they have not. Now, leaving aside the question of whether Archbishop Lefebvre fell into schism when he ordained these other bishops, that question of schism involves only the individuals who performed the act, those who ordained and those who received the sacrament of orders and thereby were consecrated as bishops. What about what effect does this have on the Society of St. Pius X? The answer, from the point of view of Catholic moral theology and from canon law, is that it has no effect whatever. This is another lie that the Vatican is trying to tell people, that since Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated these bishops, he fell into schism. That's lie number one. Lie number two is, therefore, his fraternity is falling into schism with him. Now, this is so absurd, it is so ridiculous, that I find it incredible that the bishops and the clergy can honestly believe this. After all, if the Master General of the Jesuits were to ordain a bishop against the command of the Pope, would anybody say, well, that means all the Jesuits are a schismatic? No, nothing of the sort. Then why are people suddenly saying, well, the entire Society of St. Pius X is in schism because Archbishop Lefebvre ordained bishops? Archbishop Lefebvre, when he performed the ordination of the bishops, he was not even the superior general. Father Schmiedberger was the superior general at the time of the ordinations, and he still is now. Archbishop Lefebvre is just a retired bishop, and he was the founder of the Society of St. Pius X. By the fact that he ordains these men bishops, if there is a penalty, it falls only on the archbishop and on those individuals ordained. So there are three questions. Is it schismatic? Do they really incur excommunication? And what effect does this have on the society in general? Now, first of all, if the archbishop was he excommunicated, according to canon law, if a bishop presumes to ordain a bishop unauthorized, he automatically incurs the penalty of excommunication. Does that mean that every single time a bishop performs an unauthorized ordination, that is excommunicated? No, not at all. In the Ukraine, there are secret bishops who have been ordained, and the Vatican was not informed. And yet, neither the Pope nor anyone in the Vatican considers these bishops to be illegally ordained or excommunicated. There was a reason for doing it. It had to be done that way, because if they had followed the proper chain of command and informed the Pope, the KGB would have found out, and there would have been trouble between the underground church and the authorities, the so-called authorities, the KGB. In other words, more bluntly, certain individuals would have been arrested before they could have worn their mitres. Now, in the case of Archbishop Lefebvre, he explained his reasons in conscience why he felt it was a moral necessity for him to ordain the bishops. And he spelled it out very plainly. He gave what we call in moral theology a probable argument. Whether it is absolutely certain that he was right or if he is not right is not important. Because in order to not incur the penalty of excommunication, it is explained in the Code of Canon Law that if a person performs a forbidden act, but he does it out of necessity, or if he believes it is done out of necessity, then under such circumstances, he does not incur the penalty. So it is very clearly stated in the law of the Catholic Church that in such a case as that of Archbishop Lefebvre, if he believes that he is acting out of necessity and he gives reasons why he believes he is obliged in conscience to do what he did, the law itself explains that this is a mitigating factor that for which the penalty is not incurred. Now, how do we know if the person's reason is legitimate or not? First of all, if he explains what is truly and clearly to all a necessity, then there is no question in anyone's mind, and obviously he did not incur excommunication. But what about if there is not a clear necessity, however the person believes is necessary? Now, a person, for example, can employ trickery and say, well, I thought it was necessary. I believed it was necessary. And the authorities can say, there was no necessity and your argument is worthless. You're excommunicated. On another case, a person can say, well, I believed it was necessary and you can't say that I'm just excommunicated because this is my argument. And in moral theology, if the person gives a plausible probable argument, then that is enough to prove to the whole world that that person really believed he acted under necessity. Such was the case of Archbishop Lefebvre, and therefore we can say with theological certitude that he did not incur the penalty, because this is clearly the law of the Catholic Church. It is in the new Code of Canon Law published by Pope John Paul II that if a person acts under a necessity, or he believes that there is a necessity to perform a forbidden act, he does not incur the penalty. Therefore, we can say with certitude that Archbishop Lefebvre did not incur, ipso facto, the automatic penalty of excommunication. It can be said, well, was there not a decree of excommunication where the penalty of excommunication was inflicted on Archbishop Lefebvre? Well, the answer there is simply no. There was no decree of excommunication. For there to be a decree of excommunication, it must be the competent authority must issue a decree saying, we hereby excommunicate, we inflict excommunication. What in fact did take place was a very deceptive document. It came from Cardinal Bernardin Gantin, and Cardinal Gantin simply issued a statement saying that what Archbishop Lefebvre did in and of itself incurs the penalty of excommunication. Basically, what this declaration is saying is that Archbishop Lefebvre has excommunicated himself by his own actions. Legally, such a declaration has absolutely no force whatever. It's only trying to state a fact, and in this case, it has been already demonstrated theologically and legally that that is an erroneous opinion and that he has not excommunicated himself. Therefore, the arguments to the effect that Archbishop Lefebvre and the bishops he ordained have been excommunicated, it has been clearly demonstrated that those arguments are not valid. And therefore, they have not been excommunicated. Number one, they have not been excommunicated. Now, what about the question of schism? Have they fallen into schism? The dean of canon law at the Catholic Institute of Paris, which is a Novus Ordo institution, I might add, explained in very precise terms that no Archbishop Lefebvre and the bishops he ordained did not fall into schism simply by committing that forbidden act. Because an act of schism is when someone rejects the authority of the Pope. Now, there, a distinction has to be made between disobeying the Pope and rejecting his authority, not being subject to the authority of the Pope. Now, to be a schismatic, one must reject utterly. One must separate himself from the authority of the Pope. One must be no longer subject to the Pope's authority. The contrary case would be mere disobedience. If the Pope gives a command and you disobey, you are disobedient. You are not thereby schismatic. But this is the confusion in the minds of so many bishops and clergy, and this only proves how ignorant they are of canon law and theology. It just proves, I think the Catholic faith will have to wake up and just see how ignorant their church leaders really are. They are so moronic in their way of thinking that they can no longer distinguish between disobedience and schism. They have to go back to school and get a refresher course because their minds become very clouded and they can't make the simplest elementary distinctions that any well-educated seminarian would have no difficulty tackling such a question. And yet, they have stumbled. They have been stumped by these questions and have fallen into error. The case of Archbishop Lefebvre is a very clear-cut case of disobedience.